The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It is obviously no coincidence that after the fall from grace, everything has been about returning to the high places, returning to life with God, that which we were designed for, destined for, created for, to be in the beatific vision. And so at the very beginning of God's work with fallen man, the inspiration was to go high. Abraham would build altars in high places after his journey. Moses would encounter God at Mount Horeb in the burning bush and would receive the Ten Commandments from the heights of Mount Sinai. Elijah would go to battle with the false prophets at Mount Carmel. And of course, we see the epitome of this in Christ Jesus our Lord, who begins everything in the high places, in particular his public work. It begins after his baptism with him going to the Mount of Temptation. And continues for our purposes, as the church proposes for us, the transfiguration on Mount Tabor. But even the reality of our Lord teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, and the reality of our Lord suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, all the way to the Hill of Calvary, the highest point, even though a humble hill, the highest point where reconciliation with God becomes possible through the atonement of the Son in his perfect sacrifice. This very place, by virtue of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, becoming Mount Calvary, ascending the altar to go to where the Christ is. Christ has always called us to the high places, and he himself goes from the top of the Mount of Olives to heaven at the Ascension. And the apostles then are chided by the angel for simply looking up. They're at the highest place, but they had to go back down and do the work. And so, when we consider the reality of Lent, we know that the Transfiguration, as we celebrate the feast every year, separate from this, is about the Lord preparing his most intimate apostles, Peter, James, and John, for the scandal of the cross, for what they would see, and he would only allow them to see his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was to prepare them, but only John would be the one to witness Calvary Hill. Everyone else will have abandoned our Lord, including Peter. Peter, who would consider the reality of the lofty places, but at the same time miss the point, because this reality, the transfiguration, occurs 6 days according to Matthew and 8 days according to Luke, after Jesus says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Peter had already been considering worldly when he tells our Lord that God forbid that he should suffer and die. He was thinking in the valley, as it were, not in the lofty high places, but in the valley of the world where the devil can be found, where the devil has sway, but only because we give it to him, which is why our Lord says to Simon Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking as God does, but as men do." You see, our predilection is going, and always has been, to stay in the valley. And yes, as laymen in particular, you're called to do the work in the valley, and we as priests are called to be in the valley by virtue of where we are in our parish churches, which are located in the valleys, as it were. But each parish church should contain the highest point, the steps up to the altar, the steps up to Calvary, which is the very direction of our Catholic lives, always facing the hill of Calvary, which gives meaning to the valley in which we're supposed to live, and you as laity in particular. Your role is to be out in the world. Your business is the salvation of souls. And you're supposed to be drawing people to the high points, to the high places where Christ can be found. The highest point in his churches, if they're built correctly, where the tabernacle resides, 3 steps up from the floor level. Consider the reality of the temptation of the devil, who, when he took the Lord to the mount, on the Mount of Temptation, shows the Lord all the world's kingdoms. And notice, it's at the highest point. The devil has transported Christ to some place that's not even in the Holy Land. But it's looking down into the valley, looking down where all the kingdoms are, looking down where the world is. How many Catholics are too caught up in the valley? The classic example is clearly the reality of the great sacrament of holy matrimony. Too many brides want the perfect church for the perfect pictures. And even though the ceremony itself may last 45 minutes to an hour, they'll spend perhaps 3 to 5 hours taking pictures of themselves around the outside of the church, in the valley. And even if they do take pictures in the church with the tabernacle behind them, their backs to the tabernacle, to Christ himself as they take pictures, it's still a valley experience, and Christ becomes a mere backdrop. That's what happens when our lives become focused on the world, because they're ultimately focused on ourselves and what makes us feel good, what makes us feel happy. But at the same time, to live in the valley is always to, in the end, embrace a kind of hopelessness and darkness, which is why so many people try to turn things into one celebration, one party, one holiday after another, because without a life of prayer, without the ability to go to the high places in your own spiritual life, you have no sense of orientation, purpose, and meaning for your life in the valley, where again, your business is the salvation of souls, not the making of money, not the making of a comfortable home, not the making of a family that is dead set on staying in the valley forever. No, we're always on a journey, always pilgrims, always soldiers fighting the good fight for the salvation of souls. So consider the reality during this second Sunday of Lent. As you've gone through the first week of Lent already, have you kept your eyes set on the high places? Do you keep your eyes set on the highest place of all, the place of profound humiliation, the hill of Calvary? Even in and of itself, a small hill to further the humiliation of the one who came from the heights of heaven as the second person of the Holy Trinity and becomes man, and suffers the worst possible death, the most ignominious death possible for a human being. He takes the worst of the worst and is humbled for our salvation, to draw us to the heights, to draw us to the life that we're called to. How many of us make it a point, especially during Lent, to focus our lives, if at all possible, on going to Mass on a daily basis. Where it is possible, it should be done, because Lent is a time to do things differently, to focus on Calvary Hill, to focus on the high places, to focus what the Son has come to do, to bring us back to the Father. How many of us, if we cannot make it to daily Mass because it is just impossible, then at least make it a point to climb the hill of prayer. Our Lord made it a point to pray. And his disciples knew what he was doing. And every time he did it, he would usually go up a mountain. He would go up to the high point, which is why Peter, James, and John simply thought that he was taking them up to pray on Mount Tabor. But they got far more than they bargained for. And this is what prayer can do for us. It can show us the meaning, the point, why there is suffering in life, why there is evil in life, why sometimes life seems to be drudgery, why it sometimes has no purpose, no meaning, because when we are with the Christ and know the Christ and know his mission, know who he is, then suddenly we see that he has done all the work. Ours is to participate in that work, the very purpose of the church. She is the continuation of the salvific work of Christ in the world, and too many Catholics don't want to carry on that mission. Too many Catholics want to live in the world, for the world, by the world's rules, and therefore they never look to the high places. And this can be seen in the fact that either A, they run through life pretending like they're happy or looking for some holiday experience, or to pervert baptisms and weddings and funerals for the sake of personal emotion and feeling, instead of looking to the heights where God can be found. Instead of finding the Christ in the tabernacles, in their parish churches, and in a life of prayer that he taught the apostles and all disciples to embrace, to go up to the high points. If you wonder which place you are living, because you can't stay in one or the other, if you're living in the lofty heights too much, then you're obviously one of those people that thinks that religion is all about making you feel good, all about standing up and swaying your hands, all about doing things that are supposed to make you happy with yourself. You're staying in the lofty heights, thinking that religion is only an experience that is good. No, the apostles have to come down Mount Tabor with Jesus and follow him. And if you're living in the valley, then you obviously have a tendency to see things darkly. You're always whining and complaining about something. You're always speaking about how bad and tough things are. You're always underscoring how negative things are and how negative people are, because you don't have a life of prayer, and therefore you don't have the capacity to combat the evil in the world that manifests itself both in you and in others. And therefore, it becomes a life of drudgery, or a life of fear, or a life of scrupulosity, or all sorts of other possibilities that are always pride-driven. The thing about the Christ is, if we are to indeed go up the lofty heights with him, we cannot do it on our own. We must go by invitation. The Holy Spirit moves us to pray, and we must follow in the very footsteps of Christ. All of us would want to go up to Mount Tabor and experience a transfiguration, and we would probably walk in the very footsteps Jesus walked, going up the mountain behind him, which is required when we go to the high places. Follow Christ, not ourselves. Follow the path he sets down, not the one we've chosen. And every single one of us would probably no doubt do that. But the reality is, we're all called to follow the footsteps of Jesus up Calvary Hill. Jesus said, unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And too often we want religion to be only a feel-good experience. How many couples think about the ultimate sacrifice they're making when they're at the nuptial mass? That it's all about the Christ, the high point of being there in the sanctuary with the Christ and being transformed by him. Or how many are just thinking about how good the pictures are going to look and how beautiful the church must be in order for their wedding to be there? And then one has a life only of disappointment. No, let us consider the reality of our own Catholic lives, and if we are truly geared towards the high places, knowing full well that the Catholic life has many mountains and hills, but it also has dark valleys, and we are called to follow Christ through each and every one of them, which is why he gives us consolations in the spiritual life, so that we will go back down into the valley, where we'll often experience just what the apostles did, the horrific suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross, or in our case, which we see every time at Mass, our participation in it, and how we are endeavoring to configure our lives to the cross, In other words, configure our lives to detachment from the world and attachment to the things of God. Configure our lives to self-sacrifice and authentic love, not self-serving and self-interested love. Perfecting our lives by the grace of God so that we are most willing to climb whatever hill or mountain the Lord puts in front of us and seeing them as opportunities to get closer to Him, not as burdens or, worse yet, as something to try to find a way around in the valley instead of daring going up the mountain and following the Christ Himself. During this Lenten season, let us be mindful of ourselves, because Lent is a time of manifold grace, and there are going to be many mountains and hills the Lord is going to put before you, and He's going to invite you to climb them, but the devil is going to invite you to go around them, to pretend like they're not there, or to look at them from afar and think only of your worldly responsibilities and worldly pursuits, and never ever think of climbing even one step to pray to our Lord to find meaning for your life and direction and purpose. Indeed, as we'll be at the hill of Calvary at the great sacrifice, let us be most willing to follow Jesus, not ourselves, up the hill of Calvary, up of Mount Tabor, and yes, up to the Mount of Olives for the great ascension. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.